Okay, it's 4:00. I am going to call this meeting. This is the meeting of the Executive Board, Sussex Academy, March 20th, 2019. It is 4:00. Jennifer Scott, Board President.
Mark Cosgrove, Vice President.
Susie Mitchell, Board Member.
Denise Westbrook, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Janet Owens, Director.
Andrea Rogers, Secretary.
Lauren Wisely, Board Member.
Uday Jani, Board Member.
Joe Schell, Board Member Emeritus.
Franny Silkoff, Director.
Don Bodick.
Eric Anderson, Executive Director.
Okay, great. Before we move into the agenda, I do have one change to make. I, in error, forgot to include a voting item, which is we have a proposal in our packets for some work that we are going to be discussing relative to the dining program. So that will be a voting item, which I guess we can bring that up under committee reports when Chris talks through the Culture Committee update. Okay, moving on to the next item, approval of the minutes. Any changes? No? Any conversation? May I have a motion, please?
Make a motion that we accept the minutes from the February meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, public comment? We have no public. Moving on. They're not under public? I thought we were going to have one guest, but apparently he decided not to come. Okay, moving on. Into the Executive Director's report.
All right, well, happy March. It's good to see everybody here tonight. So we'll start off my report first with a presentation from members of our senior class. So last month we did our first senior class trip to Walt Disney World. And they are here to talk to us about their experiences and why the trip should continue in future years. All right, so ladies, I'm going to have you introduce yourselves, and then you have the floor. All right?
All right. Okay. I'm Kaylee Murphy.
And I'm Aaliyah Patel.
And I'm Andrew Rivera. So we had a great time on the trip. We genuinely loved it. I don't think any of us have anything bad to say about it. We really felt that it was like a trip that had let our class become one, and we have so many memories from it, as you can see with everything we filled out, that we're going to remember for our past high school.
I thought like it was like a nice break between like school and just having the trip like, to go somewhere, because like we were kind of crammed with everything, and then like it was like a mini break, and then we came back and started doing stuff again. But I just thought it was nice to like just spend time with your friends and not be like controlled like 24/7. I mean, yeah, we had like a curfew and stuff, but like it was still like very well organized. Thanks, Mrs. Sissino.
Yeah, so we're really grateful for this opportunity. I think that we definitely made some great memories and grew as a class. I even got to talk to some people I didn't really talk to like in years before, and I've gone to his house since like sixth grade. So it definitely was a really important trip, and I really hope it does continue. And no matter where it is, I think we all, you know, try to have a good time and just enjoy life with friends.
But on the same lines, Disney was, I think, at least the perfect place. It was manageable to fundraise for. I think almost everyone was able to fundraise as much as they could and get the cost down. And also, even though we all worked together, we came together one night for a ping pong tournament down at the hotel. But we also got that freedom to kind of split up off into groups and go to the parks on our own. So it was nice to all be one and connect with our classmates, but also have our own privacy in groups too.
Forget about karaoke too.
Oh, and karaoke, yes. Performed for the resort, which was nice.
And with that, I think that Disney was also like a good choice for our teachers, who like had to like make sure we were safe and everything, because we were always on Disney grounds. But also, like, there's just so much to do, so you could never get bored or not have a good time with your friends. So I do encourage Disney to be a future senior trip.
How long were you there?
7 days.
Yeah, 7 days.
And, like, you never really ran out of things, because you could go to, like, the resort or the park. You could stay at the pool. You could go to Disney Springs. Like, there was just always something to do no matter what. Or you could hang out with your friends and play pool or pong.
Yeah, and that was easy with the transportation because they had constantly had buses running from our resort to any park you wanted to go to. So we could even come back, go to the pool for a bit, and go back out to the parks if we wanted to.
Yes.
It was very manageable and really a good time.
Another question. All of you talked about what a good bonding experience it was for the class, but you guys are going to disperse in about 2 months. Should we do this, consider doing something in the sophomore year after you've gotten to know each other, but you still have 2 more years to enjoy the closeness of a class?
That's a really good idea. I remember my class in ninth grade went to Cape Hamilton for 2 days. And I know, like, I made really good friends there because there was some kids coming from different middle schools, and then there was people who stayed, of course. But I think that's a great idea to do it beforehand. And then also the senior trip as, like, a last.
Every year.
But, like, maybe, like, the beginning and the end of high school is always nice.
Yeah. I feel like it might be a little bit more manageable if, yeah, a trip should be in sophomore year. Maybe, like, bring back the Cape Hamilton one, because that was really fun and that was a time for us to bond. But I think that a big trip, like going to Disney, is something you can really look forward to your senior year, and it's a good, like, parting ways kind of gift. And I think that that kind of shows us, like, how connected we are as a class and everything we've kind of been through. And so even though we're going our separate ways, I think we'll remember all of that, especially because it was our senior year and we're all sentimental.
And, like, I even thought, like, with all the flight troubles that we had going back, like, I think that we all connected as one, like, trying to be organized with each other and cooperate with our teachers and just kind of, like, figure out things for ourselves, because, like, we didn't have someone the whole time with us. Like, we had to get food ourselves and kind of just figure out, like, make sure you're on the plane no matter, like, what teachers.
I think what's funny is how the kids view the whole flight problem, which is that they went back to bed
and get food.
The grown-ups solved all the problems. Typical teenage.
It was much needed to go back to bed. But yeah, we really had a great time, and we just want to thank you guys. Here's this. Thank you for everything, and
thank you
all the help you guys gave us. So we will truly remember this trip forever.
Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I do think it's a good idea, because when my kids started in sixth grade, they did a Cape Henlopen field work, like, in the first week of school as sixth graders. And then, again, they had the opportunity in ninth grade to do the Cape Henlopen trip, overnight trip. And I didn't think about it in just that way, but it kind of, in sixth grade, my kids met their best friends on that trip, and they are best friends still. No. It was just a day. The ninth grade one was overnight.
Our kids did Arrowhead in sixth, but we never did ninth.
And that's the thing.
Because it was too big.
Well,
the
got bigger. I just think it's a good idea to kind of start each of the phases off with some sort of a team, sort of a
building.
Yeah,
team building.
That's a great idea.
And I think two things to say is we didn't have one behavior issue on the trip. The students, they were role models, and just other groups were commenting on how nice our students were. So they represented our school very well, and I couldn't be more proud of them. So, and of course, I know she hates this, but I would be remiss if I didn't recognize Sarah Messina for the planning of the trip. And not only did Sarah just plan the trip, I mean, Sarah helped fundraise for the trip because she wanted to make sure that every student that wanted to go was able to go if money was an issue. And I also have to say, when they woke up, or when we woke up and found out that the flight was canceled, Sarah was on it with rebooking the flights. I mean, I've been on a lot of trips with students, with a lot of trip organizers, and nobody even holds a candle to Sarah. So, Sarah, I'm not just saying that because she bought me coffee. But I am appreciative to you, and you are truly an asset to our school community. So thank you. All right, so now I'm going to go into my report, unless there's any additional questions on the school trip. So make sure if you didn't have the opportunity, board members, there are pictures and quotes from students that we put up there for you to check out before you leave. So our middle school rewards day was held on February 22nd, and our students had the had a great array of options of different activities or events where they could go. Some went to an escape room. We had a group that went to Lefties, Shall We Bounce. We had one of our art teachers, Mrs. Rashdorf, who created a paint night experience for the students here at school. And we had a group of students that went to the Harrington Ice Skating Rink. Janet, do you want to say anything on Rewards Day? Maybe give the board members kind of an overview of why we do Rewards Day in the middle school?
Middle school, starting with sixth grade, students earn cash. Each team has their own cash system, and kids earn cash for, you know, doing the right thing when nobody's watching, thinking, you know, just doing what they're supposed to do and following the 3 R's. And then mid-year, there is an auction held, and they get to choose which of those events they want to attend. And depending on how much money they have to bid, really determines which trip they get to go on. This year, the escape room was a really, really popular one, and there were only 10 spots for each grade, so not many kids got to go on that one. But just about all of our kids went, typically by eighth grade, and they're a little bit too cool. And a lot of them in eighth grade decided they don't want to go, but this year was probably the best one that we've had in a while. And I think it's because we had some new options that we hadn't offered before. So it was really successful. There was only 3 kids who were not able to go because of prior disciplinary actions, and then everybody else was eligible, and everybody had school cash to spend to get to bid on at least one trip of choice. So.
Thank you, Janet. So we are working on plans for commencement, and we will be having also a high school senior award night. So more information will follow to the board members for that, so that you can all put in accordingly if you plan to be in attendance. We were going to hold our Grandparents' Day on March 1st. However, due to inclement weather, we had a 2-hour delay, and the event had to be canceled. So I know Gina is taking a look at when we do Grandparents' Day, if this is actually the best time of the year, and we're going to revisit that for next year and future years. We also, on March 1st, had the Seahawks Showcase, which is a talent showcase where our students and even our staff participate in to raise money for our National Honor Society to give to the Grassroots Rescue and the Del Tech Food Bank. It was a great event, well attended, and we even had a boy band comprised of 4 of our high school teachers. So that was, the kids enjoyed that. We held our Meet the Coaches night on March 7th for our spring sports. That was well attended, and our first competitions for the season begin this Friday. We conducted NAEP testing for grades 8 on March 8th. Janet, you want to talk about what NAEP is, just to give the board members an idea?
National Assessment of Educational Progress. States get to choose what schools that they want to represent them. We are chosen every time.
Yay, aren't we lucky?
And you have to do it. It's 90% of your eighth graders have to participate. So that on March 8th, it's all electronic. It consists of either science, math, or reading, and the kids take one of those 3 tests. So it's pretty well organized. It's one more test the kids have to take, so they really don't look forward to it.
And we had our 90%, right?
We had 89.8, so it rounded up, so we're good.
You guys should have been here that morning.
Does that means 90% have to take it?
Yeah, 90% of who they picked have to take it. And that day, there were several ski trips and several kids who were sick. And if you don't meet your 90% threshold, you have to have a makeup date within a week. So we would have had to do it. Those kids who took it would have had to take it again.
Oh my gosh.
A couple days later, so I'm glad that we reached the 90%.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No ski trips.
Those weren't school organized.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Our middle school did their annual musical performance where they performed Lion King Jr. on Friday, March 7th and Saturday, March 8th. Both shows were well attended, and I mean, you should see the talent that we have in middle school. So it's no wonder when they get to high school, we have some pretty incredible shows. And while I'm on the topic of musicals, make sure you mark your calendars to come out and see Grease from our high school music performers, all right, and that is on April 4th, 5th, and 6th. The shows on the 4th and the 5th are at 7 p.m., and then there are two shows on Saturday, a matinee at 1, and then an evening show at 7.
Eric is in the play. He stars as Vince Fontaine, if anyone knows Grease.
Yes. And I was saying that today, the only thing I was stressed out about coming to work was having to be off book for my lines.
He was a nervous wreck.
So we're wrapping up our high school course selection book. I've met with all the departments in the high school. Teachers are excited about new courses that they'll be offering next year, and also different creation of new pathways that our students will be able to take. So we're going to continue with our STEM pathway, and then we have a humanities pathway, which is going to be liberal arts, where students will be able to pursue different pathways in music, fine arts, economics, and art.
Right? So we replaced communication.
Communication will also be an option in there as well. So there's a lot of great things happening. And then for the STEM, we are going to have students that can either pursue engineering, environmental science, or computer science. And then if a student just wants to dabble in one area, they don't have to have a specific pathway. They could do a general STEM pathway or a general liberal arts pathway. And then also that way, if a student chose a specific path and then in their junior year decided they didn't want to go on that path, it's not going to hurt them for graduation. They would just pick up extra credits in that pathway field.
Nice.
So more of that information will be coming your way as it gets ironed out. We had an in-service day on last Friday, and we started out the in-service day with a good amount of staff participating in a kickboxing class led by Cindy Smith, one of our eighth grade math teachers, or our only eighth grade math teacher. And then I closed it out with yoga. It was well attended. Staff enjoyed it so much that they're going to have Thursday kickboxing after school every day for the rest
Monday
of the year.
Monday and Thursday.
Cool.
That's a good way to get their aggressions
great.
Up.
I like it.
On each other.
And our wonderful PTO provided us with a coffee bar in the morning for the in-service. Let's see, our calendar committee met for our final read of our calendar, and that calendar, that are the decisions that we came to as a collaborative group are all in the calendar that you have in your packet, and we'll be voting on tonight. So I'll ask, I'll take questions on that when we get to that part of the agenda. Our strategic plan groups have all finished all their meetings, and they have all submitted to me the work that they did. We are now in the process of writing a draft of the strategic plan, and then we'll be holding a final reading meeting Monday, April 8th at 3:30 in the library. And then from that meeting, we'll go and make all the necessary edits and then present that plan to the board at April's meeting.
So at that meeting on April 8th at 3:30, whoever's on the strategic planning committee from the board.
Eric sent us emails.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay.
I didn't get an email. You weren't going to be there. Shout out to our middle school Odyssey of the Mind team, who did a fantastic job at the local competition, and they are advancing to states on March 30th. So hopefully they'll be bringing home a state championship in Odyssey of the Mind.
That's great.
What is Odyssey of the Mind?
So Odyssey of the Mind, how can I explain it? There's a variety of different things, competitions that kids can participate in. Lauren's a coach, so
yeah.
I think Lauren could be able to tell
assistant
us a little
coach.
More. Go ahead, Lauren. Tell us a little bit about Odyssey of the Mind specifically, because
okay.
I know there's several different competitions with it.
So it's actually three teams, and they all made it to states.
That's awesome.
So one did a vehicle problem. I think one did the one where you have to build a bossless structure to hold the most weight problem. And our team, they have one that has to do with, like, culture and classics, and so they picked Leonardo's workshop. They give you a specific problem, and you have to kind of have all these elements where you create, you know, obviously creative problem solving to sort of tell the story with the elements that they give you, and you have to make it kind of funny. So just to give you the example, our kids did the workshop, and you know, there's the famous, like, Vitruvian Man with the multiple, you know, he's like got the arms, the
mm-hmm.
four arms, four legs. Sketch. So they actually made, they glued together two He-Man costumes and made a Vitruvian man who, like, walks out. And so there's all these sort of just funny, they have to have a naysayer, so one of the kids is a horse who comes in and is, like, yelling, you know. And very creative. They have a sort of Mona Lisa diva who talks about how she's going to be the greatest work, and then they have to get one of his inventions and bring it to the current, like show how it morphs into something in modern times.
Wow.
So how do they repeat that at every competition?
So how it is everybody has to, like, they're all given the same problem, and then there's all this extremely complicated scoring for elements for each of, like, costumes and sets and design and devices and creativity and, like, the spirit of the problem, all these kind of things. And you get scored on all of it, and then it goes across. There's hundreds of teams in the state. And then the top three teams go to states, and then the top two teams of states go to the world competition.
Well, do they, like, pack up their actual things they've made and take it with them?
Yeah.
And then what does that look like on that day? Are they presenting it to everyone?
Yeah, so then you have a panel of judges. There's usually about between 7 and 10 judges who judge, and they judge, like, because they'll do all for a given problem. They have elementary division, middle school division, and high school. And then each division has, like, 25 teams or whatever, so then those judges are judging one after one, and they have about, you have to do it in about 10 minutes, so you have about 10 minutes to, like, kind of run through it. And then the secondary thing is they have to do, like, a problem-solving thing all together. They don't know what it's going to be, in a room, no coaches, nothing. The kids have to go in and sort of just do, sort of, they call it spontaneous problem-solving, and it's, like, build a structure, do a verbal thing, all these sort of, like, things that they're assessed on how they do that with
that. It's not a big budget, is it, right?
No, the budget's like $125. So it's a lot of recycling. It's a lot of pillaging through basements and garages to find things that you're like, we can use pool noodles and, you know, this and that, and garment racks and old paint, you know, tarps and stuff like that. And so they all put it together with, oh, you know, maternity clothes. Half the costumes are made out of my old maternity clothes. I'm like, oh, go ahead, come for it. So it is. It's a lot of fun. But they did really, our school did, like, fantastic. Every team that we put in got to first.
That's cool. That is fantastic.
That is cool.
And I was actually at a breakfast the next morning with a lady who was one of the judges, and she couldn't say enough nice things about our school and our students' performance, so that was nice to hear.
Oh, that is nice.
So Mr. Stafford has been working with a planner to come in and assess our science labs and the needs that we need for our renovations in the high school, and then also our proposed renovations for the creation of a student center. So we will be, Mr. Stafford met with him yesterday, was it yesterday? Or
yeah,
today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, and he'll be back in on Tuesday to sit down with the science team to discuss what's needed for compliance and for them to successfully be able to implement their curriculum. Our high school state assessment is coming up on Wednesday the 27th. For those of you who don't know, in high school we use SAT for our state accountability measure. So the 11th graders will be sitting and taking that. On the 27th, our 9th and 10th graders will be taking the PSAT, and then our seniors will be having a cyber day from home. So we will be doing, during activity period next Tuesday, we'll be having kind of a little session with the juniors to pump them up to really get psyched about taking the SAT and doing well so that they have good scores and it reflects well on the work that we do here at Sussex Academy. An admissions update, okay? So we went through our preference process and we interviewed students and seven students met the special interest preference rubric criteria to be offered admission. Our choice deadline, or the state choice deadline, closed on March 15th. That was this past Friday. And what that means is students have to commit or give their intent on whether they're going to accept their slot or not. So with that said, in our eighth grade, I'm really excited to say that out of 123 students, only 13 are not going to return next year.
90%.
Wow.
It's 15 now.
Now it's 15. So that puts us at about a 90% return rate.
That's great.
That's so
great.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
It's the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's great, but it's also, it really means moving forward that if you don't get accepted in sixth grade.
Correct.
Yeah. You're not getting.
Correct.
And so we really need to engineer our message, I think, about that just in general. I mean, and how we're setting the expectation for people moving forward.
90%, wow, that's great.
And I believe, Ms. Rogers, you have started going down the high school wait list to call students, correct?
I've called through number 35. We have 4 already pre-registered and 10 that have accepted.
So if we, okay, so back up for a minute. So how many eighth graders are staying? What's the number?
108.
Yeah,
108. So 108 are staying. And how many ninth graders are we taking?
I'm going to shoot for 140.
Up to 140.
Okay.
So we're taking 32?
And how many were on the wait list?
64. I'm going through the list very quickly.
A lot of them are already accepted.
They've already accepted elsewhere.
Okay.
Have it? So wait, I'm sorry, how
she
many
said
did you have?
Called 35.
60 some?
At 35.
I've called 30, up to 35.
And how many were there all together? I'm sorry.
64.
64 applicants.
Okay.
So as soon as you're done that, you need to let me know because we have to determine whether or not we need to convene a preference process for the ninth grade.
So all the 7 that were accepted are preference for middle school? Or
yes. Sir.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe going forward, maybe for next year, do the preference essay early because people are ready to react very quickly, and I think waiting, you know, they're hesitant. They've already accepted at other schools.
Yeah, but the problem is we don't know how many spots we have until the return date has passed.
I guess we could do it and then rank them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, rank them.
And not tell them, obviously, until after we get that. But that's a big process to go through for both the parents and the kids. Believe me, this year I found it to be more... what's the word I'm looking for? Competitive, if you will. More, I had calls from more than one parent. I had to, you know, respond to why their kids didn't get in. I mean, that's never happened before. So I feel like the less we can, the more information, the more upfront we can be with parents, the better it is, you know? So to not have to have kids go through that process to then... So I hear what you're saying, and maybe we need to put our heads together to find a solution for next year. Also, who's taking it on for next year? Denise, maybe you. Because,
you're a
fast
reader.
Anyway, it's we just need to look at it. Do we have, and so sixth grade, do we have any numbers for sixth grade?
Sixth grade, we're at what, 115?
Not quite.
Not quite.
I've held a few spots for the ninth grade preferences.
Okay, so siblings, right?
So we're like 112.
Okay.
How far down on the wait list did we get?
Number 2.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Okay.
Number two.
Okay.
Any other questions on admissions?
It sounds like just a fabulous report of what we thought would happen 3 years ago happened.
Yeah, so it took us how many years to get to 90%? 6 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
And every year we creeped up and up and up. So never didn't move up, which is I think it's great, you know, in terms of progression. But that's 90% is just amazing. I never thought we would get to 90%. So I'm really, really pleased. It's fantastic.
And then just two last items. On October 11th, 2019, Sussex Academy is going to host the Delaware Charter Conference for the state. So it will be a mini version of the national conference. So that more information as we continue to work on the planning for that.
We did it a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually the first annual one. What you guys hosted in the past was like this leader summit. So this is actually going to be for teachers and staff. So it's going to be
okay. Cool.
What date?
October 11th.
For the whole state?
For the whole state.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Down, baby. I like it. Crossing the bridge.
And of course, that's it's not technically our event. It's the Delaware Charter School Network event, but it's being hosted here. So. And then I have a couple of student situations that I need to discuss, but that I will save for executive.
Okay.
Are there any questions?
Board financials.
All right, you should have picked up a packet when you walked in. The board report is on the top. If you remember from last month, we were at about 1.7% over budget. Now we're down to 1.4, so it's getting in line. Next month, you'll get an updated budget, the final budget for the fiscal year. I've already plugged the numbers I gave you last month plugged these updated numbers into that budget, and they're right in line. So it still keeps us at where we should be at this time of year in terms of the percentage of the expenditures. But I'll be continuing to update that between now and our CBOC meeting on April 18th.
April 16th.
16th. No big surprises. We got the very last bit of our state money, which was $19,970. Expenses were $600,000 more than revenue for the month, but that's about usual for this time of year. The pool is still keeping at about $20,000 a month.
Alan, can I interrupt you? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I meant to do this earlier. Anyone who came in after the
roll call,
could you please announce yourselves?
Shanta Wilkinson, board member.
Debbie Fees, board member.
Chris Moody, board member.
Thank you. Sorry, Alan.
Sure. It's very much in line with where we were last month in terms of spending and overall impact on the budget. I'll give you a chance to look through it and address any questions that you might have.
Alan, in the revenue part of it,
yep.
It says reserves of $153,222.
Yep.
Does that mean that we're getting, like, obviously it means this, to the bottom number by using reserves of that amount?
Yes.
And based on what you've experienced so far, that was what it was at the beginning of the year?
Right.
So
it's going to be a lot less. I'm anticipating it's going to be a lot less than that.
Less being like 50% of it, 80% of it?
35, I think, is the budget I sort of presented last month. I brought it down to 35,000. And I'm hoping, because I'm always conservative on my projections of revenue, I'm hoping that it'll be even lower than that. But that being said, we've got some things we're going to be discussing tonight, so.
It's moving in the right direction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Alan, you said for the pool that we're making, which I missed it.
Last month it was $19,298.
But for overall though, are we losing money?
Yes, if you look at the very last page, you'll see that they brought in $169,000 in revenue, but they've spent $279,000,
yeah. So. Where are you?
The
last
very last page.
I'm on that.
The column that says year-to-date, at the top says year-to-date revenues, mm-hmm. 169, and at the very bottom of that column, it shows the year-to-date expenses of 279. So the total loss to date is $109,000.
Do you think the solar panels are doing anything to reduce the expense?
The solar panels reduce energy issues by the whole school, not just by the pool. So
it's hard to,
yeah.
If you allocate it all at the pool, since it sits on top of the pool.
We don't get any kind of reading to tell us how much it's making. Now that may be different with the Constellation, but we have no way of knowing how much it's generating.
I'm thrilled with the 169 in revenue. And I think we have to allocate some of the pool for our own use, too. Based on where we started with the pool, to see 169 makes me really happy.
When you say allocate, you mean in a budget, have a line item that says school use and equate that to dollars and cents?
I didn't mean making it. In my mind, I say we don't cover all the old costs, all of the costs. It's because we've used part of it, and we're not paying for the part. I mean, our students aren't paying for the part we use, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're, I mean, I guess we need to accept that we're never going to break even. So what is an acceptable number, if you will, to represent that student
use?
Because once we figure that out, then we have to figure out how to bridge the gap, what we need to do to bridge that gap, right? We need a plan. We need a team. We need a plan. We need ideas. We need to work on how to bridge that gap.
What do you mean?
So right now,
I mean, I understand. Do you mean find a way to cover our own costs? Is that
no,
increase
I mean
revenue.
Come up with a number
right.
for what our cost is, subtract that, and whatever is left, that's the money we're losing.
And we need to up our revenue by that gap.
Yeah, we need to decrease the money
actually,
we're losing.
Even we looked at that at one time, and I just don't remember the numbers.
Yeah.
So did we? So we took on more lifeguards. Does that mean we were offering more classes,
oh, yeah.
which would equate to
it's,
more
it's quite
income?
Busy out there.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got lessons going on. They've got classes going on. The cheer center's in there in the mornings. They've got multiple swim teams year-round out there.
So is there enough income to cover just even personnel and then some? Like, are we bringing in enough just to
no,
cover?
No.
Okay.
So maybe we decide we can't ever break, you know, we can't, which, okay, but I still think we need to understand that number to
right.
be able to.
I agree.
To.
I mean, was the goal ever to for it to be like a cash generation system?
Yes.
It was. Okay.
Yes.
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 But never,
I'm just asking the question.
Never relative to the expenses.
Correct.
It would be open to the outsiders and they would pay.
Correct.
It's another school or cheer or whatever. So it was meant to offset expenses to whatever extent, and here's the extent at this point.
Yeah, because I mean, you have an asset like a sports field, you got to maintain it. You know,
you got a cost to that
associated with maintaining it. You're going to have that anyway.
I think you're on the right subject, and you're not. It's all of our facilities are cost centers.
Right.
They're not. Break-even centers. We didn't build that pool to make money or to just break even. It's just another one of the assets of the school that's used and needs to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't measure with a different yardstick. I do think it's important for us to keep driving revenue if we can.
Yeah, because...
But not worried about expenses other than seeing it, understanding what it is, but not say, okay, we got to do it. We got to raise another $100,000 so we break even. I don't think that's...
Well, let me ask a question. Did we ever imagine that we were going to be able to cover the cost of our athletic program completely with our unit count? Because there's not enough money left over to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, ever, so did we set ourselves up for a situation where we're hitting the reserves every single year to pay for those facilities?
What facilities?
Well, to take care of the sports, the
athletics.
Yeah, the fields, right. You know, the pool.
The monies we get, I'll pretend like I really understand it, which I don't, but the monies that we get, let's say it's $11,000 a year per student. Mm-hmm. That doesn't all go to teachers. 60-some percent goes to teachers. The rest goes to maintenance, whatever else we spend money on. And athletics and the athletic program is no different than the theater program or the music program. They all are more expensive than the monies that that anybody pays for that specific part of it. So part of the 11,000 per student goes for the extracurricular stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see what you're driving at. That we never, in my view, never even did the calculation of, well, if we do this pool, we'll get so many other teams in and we'll charge them so much money and it'll be a break even. We had no idea what the operating expenses would be because mm-hmm. that's expensive. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to be expensive, but we didn't know how much. But it's an asset that we thought differentiated the school from other schools. And I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to maximize the offset of our costs, mm-hmm. right? Not with a goal of necessarily making money, but just to offset as much as we
correct.
Possibly
yeah. For our
correct.
Own use, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we
yeah,
have
yeah,
to our
yeah,
pool.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
you know, if we can pay our
right.
costs down,
that's right.
it's going to cost us something just to happen.
So what,
but I do think it's a, well, now the turf fields, though. So I hear what you're saying, Joe, and I hear what you're saying, Jen. I think the pool does have the ability to make money, but the turf fields do as well.
But there's a low cost on maintaining
yeah.
the turf fields.
Correct, exactly.
Until
the
turf pool. Has to be replaced.
Correct.
And the lights.
So,
or until you,
so are we equally...
If you pay for lights, we pay
until,
for the lights.
Yeah.
I don't know whether somebody else uses it, whether they pay for the lights. But right now, when we use that field,
we
turn the lights on
correct.
In
and
the
that's
fall.
Expensive.
And that can be expensive.
So are we equally marketing both?
But I think you're micromanaging something that shouldn't be micromanaged. It should be looked at, as you do every month. You have special sheets just for the
mm-hmm.
pool, just to be sure we're moving, we're trending in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
and we're not missing something that's going horribly wrong with the,
yeah.
the expenses, or we don't have much revenue because we're not marketing the pool. And,
I hear you, but I still think it would be important for us to understand what our own cost of our using the pool is. I think that's an important piece of the calculation.
Steve and Alan and I ran that number at 1.9, and I remember we came up with how many members we had to support, how many memberships we needed to support
oh,
the two
yeah,
games
that
are
yeah.
always open for...
Right. Right.
members swimming, but I think Denise made a good point that really our revenue is basically just covering our people.
Yeah, the salaries.
Yeah.
That's
so you don't want a class of only four people. You want a class of 10 people if you're going to be paying for a lifeguard.
That's right.
And what's the capacity for of the revenue of the people using the pool? So are we at like 80%
mm-hmm.
or can we do another 20% to help increase the revenue, you know what I mean?
Like in terms of membership?
Yeah, like where are we? I mean, are
just,
we, is
just
it low? Or, yeah, what's
like
the capacity?
If after school hours, what is the percent utilization?
Exactly.
Of the pool? Is it
yeah.
is it 10% or is it 80% right now? What,
mm-hmm.
Who can answer that question?
Because if it's
just,
low,
just
we can obviously
number.
Get more revenue. It's,
correct.
I mean, it's,
yeah, because
we don't know what that is.
If you're already at 80 or 90%,
right.
you just got to increase your costs.
Exactly.
To get more money.
That's
right.
So I don't know if anybody knows that.
Does somebody know what that allocation?
That's a touchy.
It's a
just
finesse.
Increase your cost with where we are.
Yeah.
If we were Lewis, we could increase our costs.
Yeah.
And but we're kind of a few miles the wrong
yeah.
direction to
we
have
gotta,
a
we gotta stay competitive.
A limitless ceiling
yeah.
to where we can put our costs.
But I'm
I
still
mean,
curious
our,
of where
our,
we are
we
with your budget.
Yeah.
What
it'd be interesting to know what that allocation.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what it is?
I don't.
I just guess.
I know that when it's closed, we've got swim teams that stay here till eight something, and it's full.
Yeah.
All the lanes are being used for the swim teams. It's
are these other schools?
No, it's the community teams, Mako's and Otter's.
Do any other schools use the pool?
Yeah, Del Mar used it during the swim season. We used it some of the other teams would use it for practices, or you know, like Indian River and Sussex Central, but they didn't use the whole season.
Right. So where do they practice if they don't use this all the time?
Sussex Central, I think. Indian River, I think, is at Sea Colony, and Ennis is, or Sussex Central is at Ennis, which is right off of 113.
Sussex Tech.
Tech goes to Seaford.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, when I'm looking at my budget, if every month I'm running in debt, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at what my expenses were that month, and for next month I'm going to see where I could trim down. I'm going to eat out less or whatever it might be. Has that ever been done with the pool? Like, are there things that they could trim back on and still not hurt customer service?
I think that's where I'm coming from, Debbie. Like, even down to, and it is a little micromanaging, but maybe for whomever to look at, like, let's look at the schedule. If we need more lifeguards to cover three course offerings or class offerings that are 3, 3, and 3, well, can we talk to those 9 people and see could they all come at one time and we only need the lifeguard then? Like, are at this point now that we've kind of have a full cycle and a half under our belt, what kind of analysis have we done? And it is that utilization. I mean, it might be worthy of the time.
The only place you're going to make even a shred of difference is in the personnel.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
The rest
that.
Of the expenses, it's chemicals.
I agree.
Yeah, so I don't even know if I hear what Joe's saying. I don't know that it's even worth our time to go there. But I do, like I said, I think it's important for us to understand what our own Sussex Academy's cost for our students is so that we can have a better understanding of what that number really is.
Okay.
All right. All right. Any other questions on the financials? Joe? Good?
Sussex Academy Foundation?
No, no, no. Are you good with any more questions?
No.
Okay. All right. Then
I make a motion that we approve the February financial report.
I second. Denise Westbrook.
All. Any further conversation? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Do we want to move forward right now with Finance Committee and come back to the foundation, or should we just drive on?
We may as well do finance.
Yeah, since we're in
part
it,
of it is kind of the conversation we're having.
Yep. Sorry, Joe.
Sorry.
All right, so Alan, we have.
I'll get over it.
There's the pool.
Right.
And oh, but can you just. I put on here this 990 form because I know it was sort of an issue that we were challenged by at the last meeting. And so could you just give the summary of what that email said?
The one I sent out?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the $1.3 million, the difference between salaries and benefits from fiscal year 17 to 18, $604,000 of that was in salaries because we added quite a few new positions for the high school that fiscal year between FY17 and FY18. And along with that, it was $229,000 in benefits increase. And then that other post-employment benefits of the pension made up the other 100.
So you guys all remember the pension burden that we had to start carrying. Mm-hmm. So all that added up to why there was a huge increase.
So the actual increase out of pocket for the school was the 604 plus the 229. That would be the actual increase that our budget, that impacted our budget.
You mean minus or separate from the burden?
Yeah, because that's, we have to show that in
our
990, but it really is the state's burden, not ours.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Susie?
That's our last calendar entry.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So last time I mentioned about the pool deck, there are several areas on the pool deck where the deck is made up of rubber granules that's supposedly held together by an adhesive. Well, the mixture of adhesive to the rubber particles was not correctly done in some parts of the deck. So we have a couple parts of the deck where it's actually just crumbling. So we've been working with Canon Spas and Pools to see what they would recommend because they have experience installing those types of floors. And he just sent me his quote this morning. It's $14,800. So clearly we will get additional quotes. And I will also